Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
When you talk about the book of Revelation, we're in the book of Revelation. There's no telling what went through your mind when, you know, I said, hey, turn to Revelation. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we have other things in this book, the Antichrist, the 10 nations that gather together to form this one world government. So much of what we're beginning to see in our world today is spoken of in the book of Revelation. And it is a prophetical book. But make no mistake about it, it's written to reveal Jesus. That's what the book is all about. It's written to reveal Jesus. The word revelation means apocalypse. And that word apocalypse means unveiling or a revealing of, a disclosing of. And so Jesus, like no other book, is revealed and he's made known in the book of Revelation. And so much of what the Bible speaks of from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew, all the way into Revelation, it all comes together in the book of Revelation. All the canon of God's word begins to manifest and come to a head, and that's what we see in this book. What I love about this fifth chapter in Revelation, what we're reading in this fifth chapter, is a scene in heaven, a scene in heaven, and there's a congregation of people that we're about to look at that are assembled together in heaven, and they're singing this song to the Lamb. They're singing praise to the Lamb. And I want to look at that in verse number 9, Revelation 5, verse 9. Then we'll go back to verse 5 here in just a minute. Verse 9 says, and they sung a new song. And they sung a new song. Check this out. When we get to heaven, we got to learn a new song. I know folk don't like learning new songs, man. We get our favorites, you know, from back in the day, and that's what we want to hear every week. But the Lord has called us to learn a new song. It's sacrificial to learn a new song. You got to learn the words and the lyrics and the keys and all that. And so he says, they sing a new song saying, here's the words of the song, or the purpose of the song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. This is speaking of Jesus. For thou wast slain. He was crucified on a cross. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now notice the language here. They're singing to the Lamb that he is worthy, that he is worthy because he was slain and has redeemed us to God, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now, there's something I want to focus in on real quick right in the heart of that verse, verse 9. And that is this statement, for thou wast slain, now notice the next part, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. If you would read that part out loud. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Notice that language. Hast redeemed us to God. Now, for the past few services, we've studied Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Genesis 22, Exodus 12, Leviticus 16, and into the New Testament, where we see this pattern of a lamb that is offered, a price being paid for the sin of man. That's how God established salvation from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned against God. There was an offering. The innocent blood was spilt that paid the price for Adam and Eve to be redeemed from their sin. That theme or that trail of blood goes throughout all the Old Testament and into the New, all the way up to Matthew 26, when Jesus is seated there with his disciples on the night of his betrayal, and he offers that cup and says, take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. And they receive that Passover meal as we studied last Sunday. And so there's a trail of blood in Scripture, and what it's doing is it's pointing to Jesus. It is showing that salvation would only be by a sacrifice, a price being paid. If there's anything we as believers need to understand, it's redemption. We need to understand redemption because here in Revelation 5, we're getting a picture of what heaven looks like. And what are we doing assembled in heaven? We're singing the song of the redeemed. And how can we sing the song of the redeemed if we don't even understand redemption? So when you use that word redeemed, or you speak of redemption, what does that mean to redeem something? What does it mean that something has been redeemed? It means purchased. A ransom has been paid. A debt has been paid. And that's what God established from the very first sin in Genesis chapter 3, that our sin, and we've all sinned, that our sin would cost something. And the cost of sin, we don't have to wonder what it is. Romans 6:23 tells us what it is. Romans 6:23 says the wages, the debt, the payment, the wages of sin is death. So the debt we owe for our sin is death. Now, you say, well who is sin? Well, Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned. I have sinned. There is no person to walk this planet outside of Jesus that was without sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, the glory of God is the essence of God. It's the friendship with God. It's relationship with God. It's when God makes himself known to us. It's when he relates to us and we receive of him. The Hebrew word is kabod, and it means when he expresses himself. That word glory is defined in Hebrews 1:3 when it speaks of how God expresses himself, and that is his glory. Well, my sin separates me from that relationship where I really get to know the heart of my Father. Sin forms a wedge. The guilt of sin, the voice of sin, condemnation, all form this wedge that tell me I can't access God. It's that message that Adam and Eve heard that had them hid from God in Genesis chapter 3 when the Lord showed up in the cool of the day. And what's his first words? Adam, where are you? Where was Adam? Hid. Hid by what? Hid by sin, hid by shame, hid by guilt and by condemnation. And likely we've all heard that voice at some point that said, what are you doing when you started to pray? What are you doing when you started to worship? What are you doing when you said you were going to church or open the word of God? It's that voice that says you're not worthy, you don't deserve it, you can't pray, God won't hear you, he wants nothing to do with you, you're an outcast. That is the accuser of the brethren, and that is his message. But it's not what God's message was when Adam sinned against him. God's message was, I will sacrifice a lamb, I will clothe you, I will cover you, and the blood from that moment forward, the blood of the lamb, became the access to God. Hebrews 10:19 says that by the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to enter into the throne of his grace to obtain mercy in our time of need. What is my access to God? His blood. Not my church affiliation, not my good works, certainly not this suit, not my plaid shirt, no, none of my credentials, no numbers or letters before or after my name, wipe all that out. Not my social status, not my religious status, none of that. The only access I have to God is by the blood of Jesus Christ, the price that was paid for me. When you speak of redemption, you're speaking of a debt that's been paid, a bounty, a ransom that's been paid, because since the very beginning, God established that the wages of sin would be death. That's the debt on sin. That's why Jesus died. If you're glad about it, can you say amen? Amen. He paid my debt. Jesus paid my debt. So it only makes sense to me that when I see a glimpse of heaven and those gathered around the throne, what are they singing? What are they saying? Who are they praising? And what are they talking about? They're talking about the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because without the blood of Jesus, there is no congregation in heaven. There are no people around the throne. They are only there because Jesus paid the price of their redemption. And I can say likewise unto you, I'm only here today because Jesus paid the price of my redemption. That the only access I have to God in prayer or in praise or in worship or in service or in preaching, the only access I have is that he redeemed me. Hallelujah. Amen. So notice this here in the heart of verse 9, Revelation 5, 9. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Read that part out loud. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Notice that language, redeemed us to God. To God. A debt was paid, and now I have a relationship with God. To God. Been redeemed to God by thy blood. I think so many times our testimony of redemption is based on what we've been redeemed from. And I do believe that is vital. And I am concerned that many in the body of Christ don't really understand redemption and that we don't know things that we've been redeemed from. So we live beneath the promise of God. We live separate from the promise of God because we don't know it's available. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I can't say about my redemption what I don't know about my redemption. How can I say so if I don't know so? So when the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the redeemed of the Lord have got to know so. You can't say what you don't know. Right? And actually, if we got down into it, Lord willing, this summer, I'm going to get into a series and we're going to talk about it. There are actually 10 things in Scripture that the Bible says we've been redeemed from. I'm not going to get into it right now, but there are things that we've been redeemed from that we need to know. And I think many of us, even without knowing the Scripture, can pinpoint and testify of things that the Lord has redeemed us from. That I used to be this, but he redeemed me from that. This used to be the way I thought, but he redeemed me from that. These used to be my habits, but he redeemed me from that. I may not be what I want to be, but I am not who I used to be because I know what he redeemed me from, right? Well, David recognized the importance of knowing what he had been redeemed from when in Psalm 103, he was discouraged, he was downcast, he was depressed, he was going through some stuff, and he had to talk to himself and build himself up. And this is what he does in Psalm 103, and I'm going to quote verses 1 and 2. In Psalm 103, David says this in verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. So he's telling himself, you know, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. He told himself, bless the Lord. But then in verse 2, he says this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So then he's telling himself, hey, you can't forget the promise of God. You can't forget the benefit of God. Don't forget the benefits. Don't forget what his blood paid for. And then he begins to list them. And so in Psalm 102, verse 3, he starts listing this. He says this. He says, who forgives all my iniquity. Do you know we need to know that? That there's forgiveness of our iniquity? So he says, who forgives all my iniquity. Then he lists a second one. He says, who heals all disease. That's important, right? He said he heals all disease. And then out of six things that he lists, I'm only going to give you three of them. Here's the third one. He said, who redeems my life from destruction. David said that. He's discouraged. He's down. He speaks to himself. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. And then he utters them out loud. See, Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've made it bad habits of confessing death and fear and failure and loss. Oh, this job is going to be the life of me. Oh, my head is killing me. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. See, we're bad about speaking doubt and fear and unbelief, but we need to create a new habit where we're speaking in line with our redemption like David did right there in Psalm 103 when he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and don't you dare forget his benefits. He forgives iniquity. He heals disease, and he redeems my life from destruction. Now, I don't know about you, but I've used that verse many times. I've used that when crazy weather was moving in, right? When the tornado watch went to a tornado warning And then now they can pinpoint the street it's on. It was close to my proximity. Lord, I thank you that my life has been redeemed from destruction. I've had to utter that during a storm. I've had to utter that driving down the road. I've had to utter that when the plane was doing something crazy and I just want to land safely. I'm telling you, I have used this verse many a time. And I know there's some folk around you don't want you praying, but I'm telling you, in the right situation, even the unbeliever will say amen. Right? And so I'm familiar with what the Lord has redeemed me from. But what we need to see here in verse 9 is that before you will ever know what he's redeemed you from, you've got to experience what he's redeemed you to. And so notice what he says here in verse 9. He says he has redeemed us, read it, to God by thy blood. What does that mean? That means God has redeemed me by his blood to himself. To himself. No wonder there's deliverance. No wonder there's protection. There's no wonder there's a way out of no way. There's no wonder there's a way maker. Because I have been redeemed to him. Therefore, the benefits of what I have been redeemed from are based on who I've been redeemed to. See, when I testify of what I've been delivered from, you have to know when I said I've been delivered, there is no delivered without a deliverer. And when I tell you I've been delivered, that means that there had to have been a deliverer. If I tell you that I have been redeemed, then that must mean there is a redeemer. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If I say to you that I have been healed, then there must be a healer. If I say that my needs were met and I saw provision, then that must mean there is a provider. And I'm telling you that source, that's who I've been redeemed to. Jesus, the Father, which has been his heart all along. See, the purpose that God created me was to have fellowship with him. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me to God. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna live a life filled with trouble. It just means that trouble won't trouble me. It doesn't mean that I will live in a world without persecution. It just means greater is he that is in me. It doesn't mean that folk won't rise up against me. It just means that if God be for me, who can be against me? It doesn't mean that I won't have tribulation and trial. It just means he's my deliverer in that process. Jesus said, in this world, you actually will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's what the presence of God is to my life. So what I'm wanting you to see is that before we can really experience redemption from something, there has to be redemption to something. And God is much more concerned about you being redeemed to him than he is from the thing. Now you might say, well, no, I just need delivered from the thing. Hear me. Being delivered from the thing but not being redeemed to him just sets you up to get back to that thing or go back to the thing that once had you in bondage. In other words, just because you got me out of debt doesn't mean I can't go back and get back in debt. But if you deliver me out of debt into wisdom of financial stewardship, then now that I'm free of debt, I never go back to that kind of bondage, because you not only delivered me from foolishness, debt, you applied me to financial wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? God is concerned not only about redeeming you from a thing, but redeeming you to him. But sometimes when we're in that thing, we don't really care about, you know, the Lord. We're faithful when we're going through. We're praying when we're going through. We're in church because we're going through. But once he gets us through, we're like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'll see you next time I get in trouble. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is that I not only be delivered from a thing, but to him. And that access to him is by his blood, not by my righteousness, not by my goodness, because I don't have any. It's by his blood that I have that access to him. That means on my best day, it's by the blood of Jesus I'm praying. On my worst day, it's by the blood of Jesus that I'm praying. If the devil looks at me and says, who do you think you are? You're not worthy. I say, you're right, devil, but I'm coming on anyway, because he is worthy. He paid the price for me to have this access. All right, now, notice here that this access by his blood, this access to worship God, to pray to Him, to have a relationship with Him. That access was given by His blood. And notice who all experienced this redemption to God. Because He says here in the heart of verse 9, Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Now notice this. Out of every kindred and tongue, every language, and people, and nation. So it doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter who your kinfolk are. It doesn't matter what kind of people you come from. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. There's a common denominator. If we cannot get this right on earth, our system is going to be shocked when we get to heaven. Because God is not going to separate us in heaven and break up all these worship services. There will be one worship service where all kindred people, languages, and ethnic groups will gather together as one, worshiping the Lamb, hallelujah, the Lamb of God that had redeemed us to God. What unites us is greater than what separates us. And believers have got to stop letting the enemy separate us based on what doesn't matter when we get to heaven. And what won't matter when we get to heaven is what color we are. Now somebody will tell me, oh, color doesn't matter. Color actually does matter. God made color. And He's not ashamed of any of the colors that He made, because He made man in His own image, and He's so big He had to make a variety of shades and colors and skin tones to just begin to reveal Himself. But we were redeemed to God by His blood. Now watch this in verse 12. This is what they were saying. And then, man, they were shouting in heaven. And the thing is they said it with a loud voice in a place where nobody had a hard time hearing. See, on earth, sometimes you got to talk louder based on who it is you're talking to. Baby, say that again. Now you know my hearing ain't what it used to be. Okay, I'm sorry, grandmother. I said, they're saying with a loud voice when there's nobody in the room that has a hard time hearing. They're saying with a loud voice, what? Worthy is the Lamb. Glory to God. Would you read that out loud? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb for what? Why is the Lamb worthy? Worthy is the Lamb because He was what? He was slain. Isaiah 53, this lamb led to a slaughter like a lamb before his shearer, so opens he not his mouth. This lamb is a picture of the lamb that God sacrificed for Adam and Eve. It's a picture of the lamb that Abel brought before God in Genesis 4 and was accepted. It's a picture of the lamb that was offered that saved Isaac in Genesis 22. It's a picture of the lamb that saved all the houses their last of Egypt, Israel, their last night in Egypt at Passover. It's a picture of the lamb that saved the nation of Israel from their sin every year in Leviticus 16. It's a picture of the lamb that redeems. So they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. They're having a worship service, and the Lamb is the center, and they're singing about His death. They're singing about His resurrection. They're singing about His blood. Now, if you hadn't heard nothing I said about this, hear this. Praise, true, authentic, spiritual praise will always be centered on God, who He is and what He has done. If your praise, if your words, if your music are not focused on who He is and what He has done, it's not praise.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.